Today on More to Life, tough talks. Struggling to confront someone who's hurt you? Are you concerned about someone's choices? Need to bring up a problem but aren't sure how? We'll help you handle hard conversations gracefully. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our home.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, tough talks. Are you struggling to confront somebody who's hurt you? Wondering how to address concerns you have about the choices someone you care about is making? Or maybe you need to bring up a problem but aren't sure how? All of these are tough conversations, and we want to help you handle those hard discussions gracefully. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Hard discussions are really hard. Yeah. I mean, they really truly are, and for so many reasons. Part of it is just having the conversation between two people and being concerned about reactions and keeping your own emotional temperature in check, et cetera, et cetera. So much of it, though, is the thoughts in our head as we lead up to it. Should I do this? Shouldn't I do this? Would God be happy with me if I did it? What if I handle it wrong and represent God's opinion in this incorrectly? What if I'm being too bold? What if they don't like me? What if we fight? How do I handle that? Oh, maybe I shouldn't even bother. I mean, after all, I raised them, or they're my friend. They know how I feel about these things, so why should I even have to talk about it? And on and on and on. And by the time we get to the conversation, we haven't planned out the conversation well. We've exhausted ourselves with all the preliminary conversation and worry and concern that's going on in our own mind and spirit. And that drains us so much that sometimes we go into the conversation feeling like we've already had a fight with somebody, that we've already lost the situation or lost control. We run mostly negative scenarios before we have to handle a difficult conversation. If there's something that you are feeling like maybe you're being prompted to speak up, maybe God is counting on you to be His presence in that situation, to let somebody know that they need some help, or they're going down the wrong path, or they've hurt you in some way. I mean, there are a lot of different reasons to have difficult conversations. We're here to help you get a handle on that today and know how to approach it and set it up so that you feel confident and you can be your best self in that situation.
877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. Call up and share. Do you need to have a difficult conversation with someone you care about? You know, maybe you're concerned about the choices they're making. Maybe you're just worried that they're not seeing things the right way. Maybe they've done or said something that hurt you, and you're not sure how to tell them. Or maybe you need their help with something, but don't know how to ask in a way that they'd be receptive to. Well, let us help you handle hard conversations with courage and compassion. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And, you know, if you're wondering, well, you know, theology of the body kind of sounds sort of highfalutin and impractical. Like, how could that possibly help me, especially when it comes to having difficult conversations? Well, glad you asked. So, when St. John Paul was Pope, he asked a huge question that he actually unpacked over the course of about 5 years in his Wednesday audiences. Basically, he said, you know, if we looked at everything God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation history, all the rest, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships?
Now, while the world tells us that there is no greater virtue than being nice and going along to get along, the theology of the body reminds us that Christians are called to something more. St. John Paul II's book, Love and Responsibility, which served as the foundation for his theology of the body, argues that Christians are called to develop the ability to respond to every situation with authentic love. Now that is, in a way that serves both our own good and the ultimate good of those around us. More than simply the being nice the world preaches to us, Christians are called to be courageous and willing to say hard things in the service of love.
So, practically speaking, that means shifting out of the worldly mindset that says, how can I get through this situation without making a fuss, ruffling feathers, or causing problems, to a more prayerful, faithful mindset that asks, Lord, teach me to address this situation in a way that's charitable, loving, and effective. To be clear, Christians aren't called to be abrasive or antagonistic, especially for its own sake. That's not a virtue. But we are called to build God's kingdom. And part of doing that means being willing to lovingly address issues that others might rather ignore, or to insist that problems be addressed even when it's uncomfortable, and to persistently, albeit kindly, call each other to behave in a manner that actually reflects our dignity as sons and daughters of God. All of this requires more than niceness. It calls for strength, confidence, and effectiveness in building healthy, holy relationships. Relationships that allow others to see the power of God at work in our lives. So that's what we're talking about today on More to Life. How do we have those conversations? You know, when you think, I want to say something, but I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it in a way that'll go well. I need to address this problem, but I've tried and it's blown up in my face.
How do I have this courage that the theology of the body is talking about? Because I'm scared to death to go into this. People might get mad at me. I don't have that personality. What do I do? Well, you start by giving us a call here today on More to Life so we can give you some practical steps to move toward that important conversation. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
With that, let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we ask for your guidance and the grace that we need to have those difficult conversations that we feel that we might need to have but aren't quite sure how to start. Or those conversations that we've started but haven't gone well and aren't sure where to go next. You've asked us to build your kingdom, to work for each other's good. And sometimes that means bringing up hard topics and discussing things that other people would rather not address. Help us to not be intentionally antagonistic or adversarial, but help us to not shy away from all the conversations that we need to have with the people we need to have them with. Give us your words so that we can speak in ways that really touch their hearts and open up those lines of grace and communication so that through those conversations we can strengthen our relationships and help each other become everything you created us to be. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary And in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Tough Talks. Are you struggling to have a conversation with somebody that you really need to have, but you're not quite sure how to start it? Or if you've started it and it hasn't gone well, where to go next? 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. Let us help you have those tough talks today on More to Life.
We're talking now with Maria, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New York.
Maria, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Well, I'm in a situation that baffles me. I have a stepson who just appears to be delusional, and I honestly don't know how to handle that.
Now, let me ask you, do you mean that in an actual, you know, mental health way, or just mean he doesn't have a grip on what's going on? Because what I'm seeing on the board here is that he's gotten accepted to a college, he's planning on going to the college, but he doesn't have the money to go to the college. So is this just practicalities, or does this go into other things as well?
No, I think he thinks he's going to go to school next week. He's going to get in his car and pack his things and move into the dorm and start classes. And no matter who tells him or how we tell him, it's not sinking in. There's some.
So you've actually sat down and showed him the cost of the semester and what he has to spend on college, and he's just not getting it? Or you have just sort of thrown out the idea of, we don't think you have enough money for this, don't do this? Where is this conversation at?
We had to have an intervention with him a couple weeks ago, where both his parents, and there were five of us at the table, my husband put a little PowerPoint, not a PowerPoint, but graphics. He handed them out to everybody. Private school, state school, how much money you have, how much money we're willing to give you. You can't go to this school. It's just as simple as that. But
and what's his response to all that?
He doesn't say much. He argues. He wants to argue, this is our fault. We said we would do this, which is not true. He made this decision about this college independently before he even knew what it was going to cost, didn't get as much financial aid and assistance as he thought he would. But it's coming down to the fact that he simply can't pay this.
And has he applied for student loans on his own? Has he done anything to make this happen for himself?
He got some student loans, but he has bad credit. He's 24. He had a credit card he didn't pay, so he can get zero loans on his own. And we're only willing to co-sign up to a certain amount because, it's crazy what these private schools are charging. And
no, I understand.
Education, and we don't want him to be, $150,000 in debt.
Yeah.
We're on the hook for that, too.
Of course.
So clearly not great choices here. At the same time, as a 24-year-old adult, you're limited as to what you can actually do in terms of controlling his decisions. And so, this is kind of one of those times where I think he's going to have to learn the hard way.
And I would say, if he has to learn the hard way, make sure you've stepped away from co-signing for anything, because he will go to school, he will not be able to pay his bill, and they will say, go home.
Or he'll figure it out.
Yeah, or he'll get 18 jobs and try to make it work. But you don't want your finances tied to a bad decision of a 24-year-old. This is not some 18-year-old kid who just is fresh out of high school and kind of dumb. He's 24.
So the thing, Maria, part of conversations don't just involve what we say, right? The conversations are also nonverbal. They come up in the boundaries that we set. In the space that we give people to make their own choices. And I think this is where that conversation is. You've said all the things. I'm not sure why he doesn't want to hear that. If you that might be the conversation that you have, if anything, to if you haven't asked him yet, it's what makes it so difficult for him to be able to hear that, this isn't the school for him and that there are other schools where he could go for music education that would be more affordable. To try to understand what's the emotional thing that's driving him, that might be worthwhile if you haven't done that yet. But if you have done that already and it's not been fruitful, or you do it and it's not fruitful, and I don't think that at this point that it will be, since he's getting ready to move in.
A week from now.
My sense is that the best thing you can do is let him figure it out. He'll either not be able to pay and the school will send him home, or he'll go to financial aid, or he'll get those jobs and he'll suck it up and actually surprise you all. And that's a really painful place for a parent to be. You know, we don't want to just send our kids out there. Okay, if that's the choice you're making, you're going to have to live with it. But that's really the best option that you've got here. And to hold the line, you know, because at some point when he hits that wall, the first thing he's going to do is come back to you and say, but you promised and I need, and you're going to have to say at that point, I'm sorry, son, this is why we had that big intervention where we passed out the graphic sheets and the charts and all sat down to explain this to you. So here are the choices you could make at this point. And you just clarify that he can go to this school or he can get that money or whatever. But don't rescue him. You know, he needs to figure that out for himself. Maria, I'm sorry that it's come to this. And again, if you haven't asked about the kind of the emotional piece of this, you know, why is he so afraid to go somewhere else? What would it mean to him to not go to this school and to accept that he can't afford this? That might be the one conversation that could be productive at this point. But I'm not holding out a whole lot of hope for it, especially since he's really kind of, you know, he's got tunnel vision at this point. That's the only option he sees, and he's going to have to play that out. Maria, thank you so much for the call. We've added your family to our More to Life prayer list, and if there's more we can do to support you guys through this, don't hesitate to reach out to us through CatholicCounselors.com. And we're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. The show is titled Tough Talks, as we discuss those times when we need to have a conversation with somebody, but maybe we're not sure how to bring it up. Maybe we've started that conversation and it's blown up in our faces. Whether you're concerned about the choices that somebody is making, or they've done or said something to hurt you and you're not sure how to tell them about it, or maybe you need their help, but you're afraid they won't be receptive to your request, or any other conversation that's a hard one to start or continue, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls. Plus, we'll be joined by Father Thomas Loya of the Tabor Life Institute. He'll be sharing some insights from his pastoral counseling practice on how to start those conversations that are a little hard to have. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue after this.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Are you longing to hear God's voice? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking, and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
He was a doctor of the church and one of the most famous saints of all time.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Augustine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, but he balanced his genius with humility. Once declared, it was pride that changed angels into devils. It is humility that makes men as angels. He died in 461.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And today on More to Life, the show is titled Tough Talks, as we discuss having difficult conversations with the people in your life. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Father Thomas Loya. He is a pastor a counselor, an artist, and an expert on practical applications of the theology of the body. Father Loya, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you. You know, I have to say, it's so nice of you to debunk the nice guy heresy.
Oh, wait, we laughed over that line, though.
Oh, and that's an important line.
You
say it again,
the niceness heresy. What do you mean by that?
The nice guy heresy. Well, as you said in your introduction, the virtue, the highest virtue of our world today is like everything has to be everything has to be and everybody has to be nice. And that's not true. Things are not always nice. We would like it that way, but it's really not. And it's I call it a heresy because it's a false thinking that has permeated our culture. And it's it's very harmful, very non-productive. It keeps us from doing what is right because we want it to be nice. And things just aren't always nice.
So what do we do instead? I mean, obviously, we don't want to be jerks, but at the same time, like you said, we do have to say something when there's something to be addressed.
Yeah, I always say there's two principles that I recommend because I do it myself because obviously I'm in this position a lot as a priest. First of all, what comforts me, what gives me confidence is this. I say to myself, I want to love. That's the one principle. It's very simple. Spirituality is simple, but not easy. The principle we live by, as John Paul II pointed out, is the principle of love, plain and simple. But real love, Christian love, and it's, you know, you have to qualify that. Real love is going to do what is best, not just good, best for the other person or group or situation. And it doesn't count the cost to self. I mean, we are aware of the cost, but we're not going to count them and make that a reason that we're not going to love, that we're not going to do what is the loving thing. And the second thing is, if we're doing a loving thing, a real Christian love, then we can be guaranteed of something. And this is I find this to be a big problem with a lot of us today. If you're doing the right thing, real Christian love, God will bless that effort, even if it means that there may not be such nice things about it, at least at first. Oftentimes we have to wait to see how God blesses something. And we may not even see it, but down the line, sometimes immediately, sometimes later on, he will bless that effort. And that's why we can go ahead and be loving in the real sense, do what seems to be risky, and be confident God will bless that. And then you do a little self-inventory. I do it all the time. If I'm a little concerned, a little afraid, I think, well, okay, Tom, Father Tom, why is this person's reaction so important to you? What is it about you that you want their reaction? You don't want to lose their friendship or you don't want them to get mad at you or whatever. Well, that's my problem because then I'm going to hold back on what is the loving thing to do. So I ask my question that to myself. The second one I ask is, can I separate the wheat from the chaff? In other words, can I affirm them? Can I, as St. Ignatius Loyola said, try to maximize agreement when you can see it, but at the same time, address what is the problem, what might be impeding the good. In other words, I agree with you. We have a similar principle. I see what you're about. I appreciate that. However, this or that is kind of impeding that. It's taking away from that, and I have to address this with you.
You know what? I wonder about your thoughts about something that we recommend to people a lot of times. We talk about the difference between accompaniment and approval. And when I describe that, what I mean by that is we can honor or even empathize and support the intention behind a person's choices or actions, but we can still ask questions or express concerns about the way they're pursuing that intention. So I can say, look, I really respect what you're trying to do, and I see what you're trying, you know, what goals you're pursuing or what needs you're trying to meet, but I have some real concerns about the way you're going about that. And if I can do that, then I can charitably address a concern without, well, being a jerk about it. I mean, what do you think about that idea?
Oh, Dr. Gergi, I'm telling you, Lisa, that is one of the most useful principles a person can learn. It is so effective when you affirm that value that they're after. A lot of times people have the same values, you know, just that how they go about it. But you have to tell them the way you're going about it is sort of clouding the value. It's sort of, and I use the word impeding, it's impeding your ability to exercise or express that value. And when you put it across that way, it's affirming, and the person can be a little bit more open than to the correction. So it's a very handy, very important principle that I hope your audience takes heed of.
Well, I appreciate your validation of that, and I appreciate your other points as well, because I think that the idea of having these conversations is really important, but it also is a little scary because we don't want to come off badly. We don't want to chase people away unnecessarily. Well, last question I have about it. What if we do our best, you know, to be charitable, to do all the things you're saying, all the things we're talking about here, but the other person rejects us or walks away from us? Does that mean that we've done something terribly wrong and we should feel horribly guilty about that? Or does it mean that we should be okay giving them the space? I mean, how would you advise somebody in that situation?
I would say that, yes, it can be hurtful and disappointing, yes. But that's where you have to trust God. You go back and ask yourself, did I do the loving thing? Did I trust God? That's all I can do. Just like the Lord told the apostles, if they don't accept you, you know, shake the dust off your feet, go to the next one. You have to kind of entrust them to God and pray and hope that you did everything right, especially if you use that one principle, I'm just here to love them. And all I can do is that and then entrust them to God.
Amen. Father Loy, I want to thank you for being with us. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work, they could go to taborlife.org. That's T-A-B-O-R, like the mountain, taborlife.org. And we are taking your calls right now, as listeners, at 877-573-7825. Okay, so we've laid down some additional principles. You heard Father Loya. As Christians, we're really called to not just adopt the worldly attitude of let's just go along and get along. You know, we ought to say something if we see something, as the saying goes. Mm-hmm. But it's challenging to know how to do that in a way that's charitable, especially if somebody treats us, you know, or responds to us in a way that says, I can't believe you'd say that to me. How dare you bring that up? You know, and then we end up feeling guilty and shutting down, and we don't mean to, but it's hard to know, you know, how to respond to all that. So is there a hard conversation you need to have with somebody, either because you're concerned about the choices they're making, or because they've hurt you in some way and you don't know how to bring it up? Or maybe you need their help with something and they haven't been all that receptive in the past to helping out. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions coming up right after the break.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. Feeding 5,000 from a boy's 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, as recorded in John chapter 6, is quite a miracle. Yet the next day, Jesus downplays it in verse 27. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Likewise, God's provision of manna to the Israelites in the desert was also a great miracle, yet Jesus similarly downplays it in verse 49. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. Jesus is clearly stating that his Eucharist is greater than both of these amazing miracles, and the Catholic Church absolutely takes him at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
Remember the song, You Gotta Have Hope? All you really need is hope? Well, it's not all you need, but it is one of the 3 theological virtues. The Catholic Catechism tells us that hope helps us desire heaven and eternal life as our happiness. We trust in Jesus' promise while relying not just on our own strengths, but with the assistance extended by grace from the Holy Spirit. Hope keeps discouragement at bay and sustains us in times of abandonment. It preserves us from selfishness by leading us to the happiness that flows from charity. Christian hope unfolds from Jesus' preaching of the Beatitudes, which raises our hope to heaven as the new promised land. The Catechism says hope is expressed and nourished in prayer, especially the Our Father, the summary of everything that hope leads us to desire. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. St. John Bosco is an important saint for Catholic families. Although he wasn't a parent, he was renowned for being a compassionate Christian teacher and the founder of a religious order dedicated to helping and educating children. At the time, people believed that children were little better than animals who responded only to physical punishment and harsh correction. One day in prayer, St. John Bosco received a heavenly vision where the Blessed Mother told him that children should be corrected not with blows, but with sweetness and charity. Deeply moved by this vision, Bosco developed an approach to discipline he called the preventive system, in contrast to what he considered to be the heavy-handed repressive system of his day. He taught his followers that even the most willful, defiant children would offer their heartfelt obedience if they were treated with love and respect. And not only did his approach work, but it raised a saint. His student, Saint Dominic Savio, is often called the first fruit of the preventive system. To learn more about Saint John Bosco and his preventive system, check out our book, Parenting Your Kids with Grace, or visit CatholicHOM.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today's show is titled Tough Talks, as we discuss the challenge of difficult conversations. Do you need to have a difficult conversation with someone you care about? Let us help. 877-573-7825.
Before we go to our next caller, we want to send out congratulations to another great EWTN radio partner celebrating 15 years with us. Annunciation Radio has five stations serving Toledo, Bowling Green, Lexington, Sandusky, Port Clinton, Willard, Eden, and Bryan, Ohio.
Congratulations to Dave Vacheries. He's gonna kill me for that.
Yeah, he is.
Dave Vacheries and his great team at Annunciation Radio from all of us here at EWTN. And folks, wherever you are listening to EWTN Radio, make sure you are supporting your local EWTN Catholic radio station with your prayers, for sure, but with your dollars as well. Let's keep EWTN Catholic Radio going strong for decades to come. Why? Well, so we can keep supporting you and all of your loved ones in living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life. So, again, special thanks to Dave Vacheries and his team at Annunciation Radio, all the people, the station owners and program directors out there, and you, for keeping EWTN Radio going strong with your support. With that, back to our calls. Lisa, who's on deck?
Well, speaking of Annunciation Radio in Ohio, let's talk now with Morgan, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio.
Hey, Morgan. Welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to get some advice about how to, when I'm trying to have either a difficult conversation with my husband or with my children. They're very young still, under five. I find myself, when I'm trying to explain myself, being very long-winded, unintentionally, but I'm a big verbal processor, and so I can tend to, I realize, go on and on about things, even though I do feel that I'm a pretty good listener. I want to hear what my husband has to say, and I make sure he has time to say it. But then when it's my turn to talk, I, make sure I want to be able to say what I need to say without it venturing into the realm of lecturing or moralizing, or going, you know, beating.
Can you give us an example? Is there like a specific situation that you'd like help with? I appreciate that you want to do this in general, but sometimes it's helpful to be able to kind of broaden out from a specific situation as opposed to sort of starting with the big
thing. Yeah, is there a time it happened recently, especially between you and your husband?
Things with my husband, it's a little tricky because, it's with all of that going on my end and my tendency to over-explain things. He is the type of person that he tends to avoid conversations as it is. So if he had it his way, he would not want to discuss many things at all. And he tends to seem to cut things short as it is. So it's hard.
And he generally does that with any conversation, not just with you, because you're going, in your words, on and on about something. He does that with anybody who wants to have a longer conversation with him.
Right. And his opinion, that he wants to be very direct and succinct, and, you know, but then you miss a lot of.
How do you decide things together, though? Like, so how do you, are there times when you do make decisions together? Or, I'm just trying to understand the dynamic here.
No, we do. We make decisions together. However, a lot of times I find myself conceding to what he wants to do, even though it might not be the way I would prefer things.
Well, that's what I was getting at, because that personality usually without necessarily meaning to, can be a little bit of a bully. They don't want to talk about it because they just want to do what they want to do and expect you to go along with it. Is that kind of how he comes across?
Yes. And it wouldn't, you know, if it were anybody else, that's one thing, but being my husband, and I also want to be, you know,
yeah,
him in a spot where he's the leader of the family, as he should be.
Yeah. I was going to say, you're wanting to talk about it and sort of talk about it until maybe something you're saying connects with him and draws him in. But underneath all the verbal processing, Morgan, is a whole lot of people pleasing.
And asking permission.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this idea of submission for just a second, okay? So, because there's a lot of...
So important.
A lot of miscommunication or misunderstanding about this, especially the Catholic understanding of it.
And what it also means in terms of your husband being the leader of your family.
Yeah, so... the passage in Ephesians 5:31 begins with, defer to one another out of reverence for Christ. People have a tendency to start with the next verse, which says, wives, be submissive to your husbands. But the very first verse in that passage is, defer to one another out of reverence for Christ. Christ is the head of the home. Christ is the leader of the home. In order for a husband to take proper, quote-unquote, headship, that doesn't mean that he gets to be the part-time pagan deity of the household and dictate the agenda for everybody. What that means is that he's meant to be the first servant, if you will. He's meant to be the person who facilitates the conversation between the family members and God that allows us to defer to one another out of reverence for Christ. Think about it as like a chairman of a board of a corporation. Okay, if you're sitting on a board of a corporation or an organization, you don't walk in there and say, "Well, I'm the chairman of the board, and you're going to do what I say."
And technically, you're not allowed to.
Yeah, it's your job, even though you're the head of the board, to facilitate the conversation by which decisions are made. And so it's your job to make sure everybody has their say, everybody gets their needs expressed, and the overall good of the organization is being served by whatever decisions are made. So you're the facilitator of the process by which things happen. You're not the dictator. And so being submissive, okay, let's unpack that further. What St. Paul is really talking about in that verse, even today, women often feel like they're being treated like property or being used. Well, that was even truer back in St. Paul's day when women actually were treated like property. And because of that, we're used to protecting themselves from men and not letting men in to their hearts or their lives. And so what St. Paul is doing, he's outlining a very different approach. He's saying, okay, men, your job is to not treat women like property or objects, but rather as daughters of God, and it's your job to love them as Christ loves the church. And by the way, women, it's your job to submit to that mission. To submit means to place yourself under the mission of the husband, to let him love you, to stop being defensive and afraid that he's going to use you, but to really let him into your heart and take down those walls that you've put up because you've seen other men treat women in a poor and unhealthy way. This is a Christian godly man who wants to love you as Christ loves the church. Let him. And that's what submission means. It doesn't mean letting your husband just dictate the agenda to anything. So there's a lot of misunderstanding about that. So as a Christian woman, it's actually your job to even stand up to your husband when he's violating that.
No, not stand up in a yelling, screaming, belittling kind of way, but calling him on to the holiness that is what he is called to and also what your marriage and family deserve.
So what that means, instead of using... Because what's happening right now, okay, he shuts down, and then you try to use more words to draw him out and get him to take you seriously. And
to connect with you emotionally.
And he understands that he just has to wait you out, and eventually you'll burn out and just go along with what he says. You're going to have to change that dynamic up. You're going to have to say less, but use more boundaries. And what I mean by that, okay, in a decision, for example, is he says, well, I want to do thus and such. And so instead of going on and on and on, you're just going to say, okay, I'm all right with that idea, except how would we fit this concern into that solution? How would we make sure that we incorporate these concerns or this value in what you're saying you want to do? You know, so, you know, I want to buy this thing. Okay, great. I'm all for you getting that thing, but how do we do that and still make this repair in the house, or address this concern I have, or pay, or meet this bill, or whatever? Okay, do you see what I'm saying? You can affirm what he wants, but then say, but how do we also X? And until he is working with you to find a solution that addresses both of those concerns, yours and his, you have to resist it. You have to say, I can't support any decision we make unless we figure out a solution that does what you're saying and addresses these concerns too. Because you both have a right to have your needs met. And that's how what a healthy Christian relationship looks like. We don't come into discussions dictating an agenda. We come into discussions saying, this makes the most sense to me. What do you think? At which point you can say, well, okay, I can see the good in some of what you're saying, but I'm not sure how that addresses this concern too. So can we work together to come up with a third idea that addresses all of our concerns? And he has to be willing to do that. That's what headship really means. It means facilitating the process I just described. It does not mean dictating the terms or dictating the agenda that everybody else has to go along with.
Now, Morgan, with that in mind...
Oh, and just, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead,
and it also has to be done in prayer.
Yes,
it's the two of you praying together every day about these decisions and saying, okay, God, you know, I know what I want and she knows what she wants, but help us to work together to figure out what you want and to take care of each other while we do that. That's another important part of headship. If he's not praying with you about this stuff, he has no right to claim headship because that whole passage begins with defer to one another out of reverence for Christ. Christ is the head of the home. All these decisions have to be rooted in prayer, first and foremost.
And if he's not a praying kind of man, that's really where you need to be starting and saying, sweetheart, our marriage is never going to flourish. I'm never going to flourish as a person until we are praying together every day. And I don't mean making a man who does not sit well with conversation going through, you know, the entire rosary. He's always going to just be saying words to appease you. He needs to be praying with you every morning, every night, just conversationally. Lord, bless my wife today. Help us with this situation. Help us with that. Bless this child. You know, help us have a good day. Show me how I can serve my family today. Just conversational prayer before you get out of bed in the morning, before you go to bed at night, so that when the bigger conversations of making decisions together happen and need to happen, you're used to talking to God together. The other thing I'm going to say, Morgan, is because you're in this habit of trying to draw him in emotionally and spiritually by using a zillion words, take time when you know you have to talk to him about something. Take time by yourself and on a piece of paper, write down what is the major concern. I need to talk to my husband about X, and this is why we need X. Not a zillion reasons why, the main reason why. So that you have the brief words in your head and you can hold yourself to that so you're not going down the sinkhole of a zillion
words. You have to realize that using more words doesn't give you any more credibility. He doesn't want to listen. So you have to say less and actually just hold the line where you say, I can't agree with moving ahead until we figure out how to address this piece as well. And I really need you to hear me, honey. Now, if all the things we're saying sound like an impossibly huge shift mm-hmm. for the way you've been living your relationship with your husband, then that might be time to seek some good professional pastoral counseling support so that we could help you on an ongoing basis, either you individually or you as a couple, really live out this Catholic vision of headship and submission and problem solving and praying together through these things.
And emotional and spiritual closeness, which is underneath this entire question. I can feel that pain. You want to be closer to your husband spiritually and emotionally, and you don't know how to get there. There's such an ache in your heart. And Morgan, God wants to fulfill that desire for you.
So two resources are our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, which talks about eight research-based habits that healthy couples practice and how every couple can learn those things, including one of those practices we call mutual respect, which refers to exactly what you're talking about here, the need to really listen to each other and work hard to see the truth and goodness and the beauty in the things that each of you finds true, good, and beautiful, and really work together to include those things in any decisions that you make. So How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. The other book I'd recommend is Praying For and With Your Spouse, which talks about how to have this kind of prayerful relationship that allows Christ to be the head of your home. But if you want more personalized guidance through this whole process, either for yourself, so that you can develop the strength to kind of stand up and set the boundaries you need to set, or working with your husband, preferably, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll help you get to where you need to be. And if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here or through CatholicCounselors.com. Morgan, thank you so much for the call. We've added you to our More to Life prayer list, and we really hope that these suggestions will get you thinking differently about how to move forward. 877-573-7825. Our show today is titled Tough Talks, as we discuss the challenges we all have in addressing difficult subjects with the people we care about, whether we're concerned about, for instance, our adult kids' choices, or our friends' choices, for that matter. If we have been hurt by something someone did or said, and we don't know how to bring that up, or we need help from somebody who hasn't been all that receptive in the past, and we're not quite sure how to move forward with that, or any other difficult conversation that you know you want to have or need to have, but in your gut, you go, I don't want to do that. Give us a call, 877-573-7825. And as we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Proverbs chapter 27, verses 5 and 6.
Now, we're going to have to parse this out and read it at least twice, because we're not used to hearing this one, and it's a little strange to our ears. Better is an open rebuke than a love that remains hidden. Trustworthy are the blows of a friend, dangerous the kisses of an enemy.
Now, and I look at the commentary on this passage as well.
It is oddly worded for our modern ears.
So, better in an open rebuke than a love that remains hidden. Well, what does that mean by a love that remains hidden? You need to understand what love is. Love is working for the ultimate good of another person. And so if working for that person's ultimate good means saying something, I need to say it, rather than hiding that love under a bushel and not working for their good. The second part of that passage, trustworthy are the blows of a friend. Well, nobody wants your friend punching you. That's not what the scripture means.
No.
But it's talking about those things that your good friends say to you that kind of hurt, you know, when they say them, even though they're offered in love. But you need to hear those things, right? And so trustworthy are the blows of a friend, dangerous the kisses of an enemy. You know, when somebody's just saying yes to you or going along with you to get along with you, that makes them an enemy.
That
scripture is saying that is the position that an enemy takes. And how many marriages have we run into where husbands and wives do just go along to get along? They don't say the things that need to be said, and they think they're being loving, but really they're really demonstrating the dynamic that exists between enemies, where we superficially get along but just underneath seethe with resentment or sadness or frustration.
And that's not what a sacrament is meant to be. And so that's why so many people who have just treated each other like colleagues, just trying to get along, end up in so much pain as the marriage goes on.
It's a hard verse, but it's a verse that points to what a healthy, authentically loving relationship looks like between any two people, but especially husbands and wives. 877-573-7825. Are there tough talks you need to have with someone you care about? Let's talk about how to approach them. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up right after this.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. Want to celebrate some amazing anniversaries this year in France? We'll visit Normandy Beach to celebrate our heroic military for the 80th anniversary of D-Day. Also, the 100th anniversary of the canonization of St. Teresa of Lisieux. Join us this October for our Saints and Shrines of France and a visit to the newly renovated Notre Dame Cathedral.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Strained or broken relationships are a given in most of our lives. Friends fall away, siblings drift apart, children sever ties with their parents, and despite our best efforts, these painful fissures are difficult to mend. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray. If you want to learn how to communicate better with the difficult people in your life and be a more easygoing, more forgiving person, check out my book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. Check it out. And all my other books on the store page at avemariaradio.net. That's avemariaradio.net.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, Tough Talks, as we talk about having difficult conversations with the people we care about.
Let's talk now with David, who's listening to EWTN Radio in California.
David, welcome to More to Life. What's your question for us?
I have a son who, it's been a couple of years, but he's kind of been on and off with the family for a while. I believe he's had some trauma in his life. I believe he's hurting. I believe he's wounded. And I think, you know, I just feel like he's, you know, kind of transmitting some of that pain to the family.
And it says he's not speaking to the family because of those past hurts. So do you have any contact with him at all?
It's on and off, but for the past 6 months, no. I've written him a couple of letters. He doesn't respond to my texts. He doesn't respond to my phone calls. And in the letters, I've basically said everything that I can think of saying. You know, I love him and I care for him and I'm here for him and the family's here for him. I've apologized for whatever we did, I did, you know, that hurt his feeling. And if he doesn't want to have contact with us, I could deal with that, and I'm going to honor his request, kind of.
Has he asked you not to reach out to him? When you say you're honoring his request, what request specifically are we talking
about? Well, his request is just not to have any more contact with us.
So he's asked you not to text him or not to write at all? He's not receptive? Well, he doesn't respond,
no,
but that's different from saying to you, but that's different from him saying to you, don't text me anymore.
Yeah.
Did
he specifically say, I'm going no contact, don't talk to me anymore? Did he say that to you?
Well, yeah. He didn't want to have any contact with us.
Okay.
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 So the reason I ask that is because my usual suggestion, you know, barring that kind of a boundary, would be to suggest keeping up at least regular light texts that don't necessarily, you know, you've said everything you need to say, right? And at this point, the best way without that boundary that he set would be to just keep up like every other day, just, hey, I'm thinking about you, thus and such is going on in our lives, I know that whatever is, you know, I'm praying for you about this, whatever, and keeping up those light texts so that you at least have a line open, even if he never responds to any of them. If he has set a hard boundary where he says, don't talk to me anymore, don't text me, don't reach out to me, then you need to respect that and give him that space. When he eventually he will reach back out. Based on your history, you've said that he does, he falls out for a while and then he comes back. When he does that, I would suggest taking that lighter approach. addressing the problems head on, I mean, that makes perfect sense. That's the reasonable first thing to do. But when somebody doesn't know how to deal with that, that can feel threatening for them. And you want to let him know that, you're willing to have whatever kind of relationship he's willing to have with you at this point. Even if that's a very superficial relationship where you're just talking about the weather and you're just, you know, saying that I'm thinking about you. So you want to start where you can and then build out from there. They're playing us out. I want to be able to give you more feedback. So I'm going to suggest you pick up our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. It's not just a book about talking to our adult kids about things. It's about building the kind of relationship that makes them receptive to what we have to say and willing to really work with us to build that relationship. So again, that's Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. You can pick it up at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. And listeners, if you need help having those difficult conversations, reach out to us, CatholicCounselors.com. We're here for you.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.